been a beautiful day so far. So many, we're all trying to hold it together, but we're almost there. And this is a wonderful time to gather together, body of Christ. The 100-year anniversary. I was told this morning that my wife and I look really good for 100 years of marriage. This is about the church. As we gather here today, we are finishing, well, we have one more next week, but we have been walking this fall through the book of Nehemiah, a wonderful text about the building of something great in response to a particular need. As we close this dedication service together, I want to read a quote from the theologian and author John Salisbury, 12th century, who wrote that we are like dwarves sitting on the shoulders of giants. We see more and things that are more distant, not because our sight is superior or because we are taller than they, but because they raise us up and by their great stature add to ours. That's who we are today, that we are like dwarves on the shoulders of giants. That is to say that where we stand is a particular vista that has been built by the faithful generations who have gone before us. And it is important for us to recognize that particular history and how it corresponds with our discussion this fall. The book of Nehemiah is this. Because as we've been leading up to this particular text, which is, at this day, a dedication of the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, we kind of look back briefly at the road that brought them to this moment when they were called to set aside a day for joy, dedication to what the Lord has done. And the story began with a man in captivity named Nehemiah who heard about the destruction of Jerusalem and he wept. And we discussed then that it was the indication that something is breaking his heart and he didn't quite know how to handle that. Any kind of story that looks at what can be done through the faithfulness of God's people typically starts with that kind of beginning point. What is it that we recognize that breaks our heart? We've had this in this church for 100 years now, that all that we've done and all that we've said has started from the breaking point of what is it that should be paid attention to in the midst of the community that we live? What is it that breaks our heart? Now, of course, before Nehemiah could take a first step, he had to know that the Lord was behind it, and he prayed a beautiful prayer, asking for the Lord to show him the way in which he can make a difference for this very thing that's breaking his heart. And this congregation has been one that has prayed at countless points of intersection. Lord, is this the way that you are leading us? How is it that we should respond to the need at hand? What is it that is breaking our heart? Is it breaking yours as well? Or is it just me talking to myself? As you read the history, I hope many of you get a chance to get the history book that we've passed out. Please take one per family, but it describes the way in which the church has done this very thing, praying about the way in which the Lord would in fact lead us. And after that happens, as it always does, a way is made. The sovereign Lord opens up a way where there is no way. He opens up doors that were previously closed. Nehemiah walked right through them with faith. And our church has done that time and time again, where an opening has been given by the Lord to step forward in faith rather than to shrink back into fear and to wonder what could have been. There's a history of people stepping out in faith. And then after that stepping out, we get to the third chapter of Nehemiah where it describes each and every family that banded together to take a section of the wall that had been broken down, the wall that was now compromised, the wall that allowed their enemies to attack, the wall that did not protect them from all that was around them. And this accounting, it lists every name They worked on this section of the wall, and then they hung these doors on this gate, and then the next family gathered together with their children to rebuild this section of the wall. And we have this here in our church where we have a lot of names written down. We're Presbyterians. We have to write everything down. And each name matters. Each family has been an integral part of setting something in place for which we are forever grateful. But then we get to chapter 4, and then there was opposition to what they were doing in rebuilding this wall. Mocking. Ridicule. Could they stand in the face of opposition, or would they stand firm, believing that this is in fact what the Lord had been calling them to do? And they did. They stood against opposition. And if you're a church, you should have it. It should not be the easy road. That there are times when stands need to be taken. There are times when people will look at us as fools for what it is that we believe and how it is that we would set aside our own desires for the benefit of others. An opposition comes our way, and we are called by the Lord to stand in the midst of that. And then in chapter 5 come the facing of injustices, interestingly, that are not only happening from without, but within. People taking advantage of one another because the circumstances are ripe for the taking. And it had to be addressed. That we have to pay attention to those things in our own hearts that cause us to do that which we should not have done. And to pay attention to the injustices about, such that it does not deter us from the calling of the Lord upon our lives. And then, they jump forward a couple chapters. After this wall had been rebuilt by all these families in this miraculous time frame of 62 days, 3 feet thick, 20 feet high, they read the law. It was brought out into the open, and the people were reminded of God's word, the word that they had forgotten. And when it was read, they remembered it, and they wept because it was God's word for them once again that had been given to their ancestors. I found this book in our church library. It is the Confession of Faith. The opening pages have it as published in 1839. And the first pages of this book are from the Westminster Confession of Faith. Same confession that we hold to today. And the very first chapter says this of Holy Scripture. Although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, the wisdom, and the power of God as to leave men inexcusable, yet are they not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and of His will, which is necessary unto salvation. Therefore it pleased the Lord at sundry times and in diverse manners to reveal Himself and declare that His will unto the church, and afterwards for the better preserving and propagating of the truth and for the more sure establishment and comfort of the church against the corruption of the flesh, the malice of Satan in the world, to commit the same holy unto writing, which maketh the Holy Scripture to be most necessary. For those former ways of God revealing His will unto His people. The reading of the word of the Lord, again and again, to remind us what we need to remember and to hold dear to. And then they asked for the agreement of the people to reaffirm their covenant with God. Right prior to the dedication. And we do that here this morning. That we gather together not simply as a remembrance ceremony, but as the people of God, recommitting ourselves to the covenant which He initiated without any initiative on our part, which He alone completes through the blood of His Son, and which He alone invites us into by faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. We simply respond in faith to the covenant that he has made. Which is why this day is a dedication. For them, it was never just about the wall. And for us, it's never just about a history or this building or the memories of those who have passed. It is true that it is fitting that we acknowledge that anything that is built takes good leadership, it takes wisdom, it takes courage, it takes addressing internal problems, it takes people putting their own needs aside for the sake of others, it takes people taking ownership of their own failures, and we've had many. And it takes people returning to the word of the Lord and owning rather than blaming. And yes, they dedicated that day what they had built, and we today dedicate what many hands have in fact built this church. But we do so only as we pay attention to the Lord in gratitude for what he has done. For he is the one who has built this church. He is the one who sustains his church. He is the one whom we give glory and honor to this day. Not praised be God and not our strength for it. And therefore, it is appropriate to have a formal day of dedication, the day in which they had choirs and instruments, men, women, and children gathering together before the Lord to purify themselves, to give thanks for what he's brought them through. Years of captivity, years of famine, years of destruction, yet never leaving his people alone. A glorious history made possible only by what he has done. And so we close today as we remember those shoulders of giants that we stand upon with a poem written by our first minister. How vividly does memory stir the thrills of long ago and paint on glowing canvas yet the scenes I used to know. Those faces wreathed with sunny smiles of many valued friends. Recalling them, I cherish them, a joy that never ends. A pleasant name is Escalon, a sound that has a lure. A village with a special charm, attraction to endure. The countryside is full of folks you know are strong and true. And whatever you give them, smiles or love, they give right back to you. This chapel, where the people come to worship and to pray, we dedicate again with thanks and holy love today. And I pray that through the coming years, this church may ever be a joyous church, a sacred spot, as it has been to me. I bless the faithful pioneers. May memories of them last. And I bless the future and the folks who build upon our past. Let's pray.